Church, I'm so thankful for the presence of the Lord. Amen. We can come to His temple on His day and enter in. No matter what the work week's been like, we can enter into God's presence. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're just going to pinch hit for Pastor today. They are on vacation. We're going to do our best. But we're so thankful the pastors can get away, spend some time. Amen. And speak to you for a few moments. I know what you're thinking. Brother Aaron's preaching, so you're going to be out of here in 10 minutes, right? Well, I prayed last night that he'd give me a two-hour sermon. So we may get 20 minutes. But if you'll stand with me today for the reading of God's Word, I'm thankful for the opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk and preach the Word of God. Amen. If you'll turn with me to the book of John, chapter 9, we'll begin reading. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, starting with verse 17. I'm going to read down to 25. If I can find my place here. Verse 17 says, "The Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, 'What's your opinion about this man who healed you?' The man replied, 'I think he must be a prophet.' The Jewish leader still refused to believe the man had been blind and could now see, so they called in his parents." Verse 19 says, "They asked them, 'Is this your son? Was he born blind? If so, how can he now see?' His parents replied, 'We know this is our son and that he was born blind.'" Us parents, we know who our kids are, right? They knew who he was. He said, "We know this is our son and he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him. He is old enough to speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, "He is old enough, ask him." Verse 24 says, "For the second time, they called the man in who had been blind and told him, 'God should get the glory for this, because we know this man, Jesus, is a sinner.'" And verse 25, "I don't know whether he is a sinner," the man replied, "but I know this, I was blind, and now I can see." Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the opportunity to come to your house, Lord. We thank you for the praise and worship, Lord, that God, we could enter into your presence, Lord, and we feel the power of the Holy Ghost here this morning, Lord. We just ask, Father, you'll take anointing, God, and anoint me, Lord. Your word is already anointed, but God, I pray for your anointing to go off the altar to anoint my lips, Lord. Help me to preach your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to speak to you this morning with the help of the Lord about KISS. K-I-S-S. And no, before I know what you're thinking, I'm not talking about the famous rock band with all their makeup and their long tongues and Gene Simmons. I'm not going there this morning. And don't worry, I'm not going to get sappy and I'm not going to talk about a romantic kiss. And I'm not even going to talk about a chocolate Hershey's chocolate kiss. And though some of the ladies are like, they could use that right now. Trust me, having four women in the house, I know about chocolate. But I do want to speak to you about an acronym. Keep it simple, stupid. Now, before you think I'm calling you stupid, the stupid in this is me. Because I need things simple. I need things brought down to my level a lot of times. Did you ever have a teacher in school? I remember I was in probably sixth grade when a teacher wrote up and said, you need to practice this. Keep it simple, stupid. KISS. And how many of us like to keep things simple? How many like things complicated? None of us, right? I like things simple, easy. A lot of us do like that. I like it simple, not complicated. I mean, how many of us dads enjoy Christmas time when we get gifts? First thing we have to do on Christmas morning is begin to assemble those gifts, especially when our kids were little, right? You get out those instructions and you have a headache just looking at them. It's amazing all the stuff that they can put in there. And pretty soon, what becomes a joyous morning becomes a time you have to go read your Bible and pray and ask for forgiveness because you're so mad putting these gifts together. But I like it simple. I like lots of pictures. I need it because keep it simple, stupid for me. Easy instructions. I mean, when we really get down to where the rubber meets the road, there's not a lot of people who like things complicated. You like it simple. I mean, take Walmart for an instance. When we go to Walmart here in a little bit or whenever you grocery shop, how many of you like to go there to purchase your items, go to the check register, have them scan correctly, and boom, you're out of there, right? Nobody likes to sit there and wait for the person in front of you whose items can't scan, or they picked up an item that has no price tag on it, and they have to send one of the stock boys or girls back and get a price for it. We like to get in, get out. And Walmart's made it easy. If you like to scan it yourself, you go right there. That's what I like to do. I like to scan it, get on. Or you can even do grocery pickup. We like it simple because we don't like things complicated. I mean, just look at Black Friday. Dear Jesus, help us. As that wretched holiday's coming up, we like it simple. I stay clear from that. I'll be the pickup person, but I will not go inside that place. I work for Walmart. I know what it's all about. We want it simple. The same can be said about the gospel. When telling others about Jesus, just keep it simple. I heard a saying that I love. Witnessing is just one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. Let me tell that to you again. Witnessing is just one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. Church, you and I are beggars, and we're just telling other beggars where we found bread. We found the bread of life, who is Jesus. Amen? Church, it's that simple. The message of the gospel is not complicated. Yet I think as Christians, we make it that way. We get all complicated and we intertwine it. But it's simple. The gospel of Jesus Christ is simple. I was blind and now I see. I was sinful and now I'm made right. Amen? As Christians, we make it hard. Our text today, we find a man that was born blind, the Bible says. And he was now an adult. And he was still blind until one day he had an encounter with Jesus. Aren't you thankful this morning that you had an encounter with Jesus? Amen? He touched you and healed you. He saved your soul. You know, the other day I woke up in a lot of times when stuff is just barely bothering us, I don't like to complain. And I had my ear was all stuffed up. I don't know if it was the weather changing, but I couldn't hear out of it. I woke up that whole morning. And man, I told Christine, I said, man, it sounds like I'm in a tunnel or something. And I just said a quick prayer on the way out as I got in my vehicle. I said, Lord, just touch me. And you know what? I hit the dirt road and got on the pavement, and there's a couple hills. And as soon as I went down that first hill, it popped. And man, I haven't had any problems since then. And the old devil, you know, he likes to tell us, you know, what was because he's going up some hills and stuff. No, I asked a prayer, and the Lord healed me. But this man was blind, and he had an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus touched him and made him whole. The Bible says that Jesus even did something different, that he spit in the mud and put mud on his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he did that. But then his friends began to see that this was a blind man and he was blind for his whole life and now he could see. And they began to question, who did this? And they stirred up a bunch of problems and they took him down to the local synagogue and the religious leaders. These are the people that should be in tune with God. They began to question him. They said, this isn't even the man that was blind. So they brought in his parents and they began to question the parents. And we parents, we know who our kids are, right? We can see them from miles away. We know what they look like when they're on the ball field. We know exactly what they look like. The other day, Grant was watching his football game, and I could see him down there. First of all, he's probably the smallest one on there. But I could tell who my son was as I was walking into the stands. We know who our kids are. And so his parents knew who he was, and they said that this is the same man. He was blind. But these religious leaders, they couldn't figure it out. And he told them. He said, all I know is I was once blind and I now see. This man wasn't a theologian. I didn't even say that right. I'm having a hard time speaking this morning. He wasn't a theologian. He wasn't a religious leader. But he answered in John 9:25, I don't know whether he's a sinner, the man replied, but I know this. I was blind, but now I see. The religious leaders wanted an explanation what had happened. Why? 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 Why did this happen? And all this man's saying, I'm not educated. I'm just an old beggar. All I know is Jesus touched me, and I'm whole, and I can see. This man had no higher education. He wasn't a preacher. He was just a beggar. He gave a simple but powerful answer. I was blind, but I now see. Church, I don't have an education behind me. I'm not a theologian. I don't have a doctorate, but I do know one thing. I was blind, and I now see. Amen. You and I tonight, we don't have to have a title behind our names to witness. All we can do is tell people, you know what? I was lost and I'm now found. I was blind and I now see. Church, that's where it is. I don't know about you, but I remember when my eyes were open and I found the bread of life. Amen. I found the food source. I was hungry and I was starving and I came to the bread of life and I now feast on it daily. I don't know the things I know about the Lord that I know now. When I came to know the Lord, even though I grew up in church and I began to run in my teen years, when I came back to the Lord in my young adult years, I still didn't know things about the Lord, but it didn't matter. I knew I had the source. I was blind and I now see. And that's what matters, church. My heart was sin sick and Jesus was the cure that I needed. Amen. I didn't have to be a seminary student. I didn't have to be a son of a preacher, even though I am. I didn't have to have a title behind my name. I just had a need, and Jesus met that need. I needed a Savior tonight, today, church. I think we lose fact that in the power of the gospel, the power of the gospel is great, but we lose fact that people, we make it so difficult for people to hear it and understand it. We try to wrap it up. If they're not church-like, or if they're not a title behind their name, we forget that they're just beggars and we're beggars. We've made it difficult. We, the church, have begun to act like the Pharisees and Sadducees. You know, all through the New Testament, we read about the Pharisees and Sadducees, and we say, how can they be so stupid to miss Jesus? He was right there. The Messiah, the one that they were praying for, the looking for, and He was right there in front of their eyes. And yet they were so gaudy, and they were so mighty, and they were had their noses stuck up so high. Yet, where are we today in the church of America, the church of the world today? A lot of times when people walk in those back doors, and because they don't look like us, because they're not dressed like us, because their hair's too long, we snoot them. God forgive us. They're just a beggar. We once was a beggar. Church, we've gotten like the Pharisees and Sadducees. When Jesus called Peter, James, and John to follow Him one day, He was going on the Sea of Galilee, and He seen these men, had a fishing business, and he was walking along them. He told them to leave everything, and they did. But He told them, I'm going to make you cleaners of men. Wrong, right? He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men, not cleaners of men. You see, church, what does a fisherman do? It's pretty simple. He catches fish. Church, our job is to fish and catch and bring them to church, not to clean them. You know, for so many times, when I was growing up in the 80s in the church, we tried to clean people. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is to catch the fish. I don't like cleaning fish. I like to fish when they're biting. You know, I don't like to fish when they're not biting. I'm not that hardcore fisherman like my brother, but if they're biting, I'll go out there if anybody. But I do not like to clean fish. I don't even like fish to eat them. That's another story. But cleaning the fish, who likes that? That's gross. It's nasty. Why do we do it as a church world? Why do we try to clean people up? That's not our job. Our job is to catch them. Our job is to go out and tell them, I'm a beggar. I found the bread. Come into the house of God. The Holy Spirit can do a far better job than I can do. I mean, I tried to change Christina after we got married, and that didn't work out too good. My track record's not very good. It's the Holy Spirit's job to clean. Yet, church, we've taken the role of cleaning and making the gospel complicated. When it comes down, all it is people's hearts are sick, and we have the cure. You and I have the cure tonight. If we had the cure for cancer, and we didn't give it to the rest of the world, man, we'd be shamed upon. We have a cure that's far greater than cancer. We have eternal life. We can change people's lives through the power of Jesus Christ, through the blood. People's hearts are sick. Isaiah 1:5 says, why do you continue to invite punishment? Must you rebel forever? Your head is injured and your heart is sick. Church, we live in a world that there's a lot of hearts that are sick and broken. And you and I have a simple message. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. There are a lot of people today, church. We know the cure, and it's not difficult to obtain. You know, health insurance is crazy, skyrocketed, and to go to the doctor almost breaks you, and you almost have to take out a loan. But church, the cure that we have is free. Like Brother Chris was talking about in Sunday school, mercy is free. Thank God that that gift is free, the gift of salvation and grace. We don't have to pay for it. There's so many that are hurting and hungry without hope today in our world that we live in. What are we doing to rescue them? What are we doing? Most of the times when I prepare a message, I have to take the medicine first. Preachers, Sister Kelly knows this. Brother Heston knows this. When you begin to preach or the Lord lays something on your heart, you have to swallow it first. You have to take the medicine. A lot of times, preach to yourself. And so when the Lord began to lay this upon my heart, Thursday night, Grant had a football game over in Springdale at Shiloh. And after the game, we were starving. We just had Christina and Allie and Logan and Grant. So just had one of the girls and two of the boys. And we were starving. So we decided we got to find somewhere to feed our face. And so Sam's Club was right there. And when you have five kids, you find the cheap places, right? Just going to McDonald's is like going to a fine, fancy restaurant by the time you get your bill. Sam's has a good deal, has two slices of pizza and a drink for like under $3. So we're headed to Sam's. We go to Sam's Club, get in there. order, as we're walking to order our food, you know, they have the kiosk now where you don't even go to the cashier. You just sit there and type on the computer what you want. And I looked over and there's this woman there. She's probably in her 30s, mid-30s, just a guess. And she was crying. You know, I'm sitting there on my kiosk trying to make the order, and she's just sitting there crying. And so I kind of look and then go back to ordering. Then she starts sobbing, and she's crying even more. And instead of having compassion, I began just to look and think, what's going on here? You know, kind of caught up like a movie. You know, instead of thinking, gee, I wonder if she's had a hard time. You know, I'm just sitting here watching. You know, it's like a bad car wreck. You try not to stare, but you do anyways. And just waiting. Why is she crying? You know, what is she going to make a scene? And she kept crying and sobbing, and I kept pushing. And finally, I placed my order, went and got the drinks, came back, and I looked over on the table, and there she was. I mean, she was just bawling. And so I turned my back and went and got the food, as they call my order, and that's when the Holy Spirit hit me. Why didn't you go get Christina and go up to her and pray for her and ask her if you could pray? Now, how crazy is that to pray for somebody in Sam's Club? First of all, I wouldn't have even approached her if I didn't have Christina with me. I mean, I'm a married man. That, you know, that would be not right. But I didn't have an excuse. I had Christina. So as I turned and looked away, she was gone. But church, who knows that God may have put her there at that time. What was she going through? Who knows? But something was obviously bothering her. And I was just staring like, you know, it was going to be a scene. Not even having compassion on her. Not even thinking that there was an opportunity to minister. When I could have gotten Christina and say, hey, let's go pray. Let's go. You know, she may have not even said, no, I don't even want a prayer. But who knows what door would have opened. Instead, I just looked at it and thought, caught up in the day-to-day things. There was an open door. I had a chance, church. We pray that the Lord will send people in for us to be saved. And all along, God has called us to go out into the world. You know, why aren't people coming in anymore? Well, church, it's because we're not fishing. We're not going out and catching fish. I'm preaching to myself. I have this tunnel vision a lot of times. Tomorrow morning I'll wake up, I'll thank the Lord for waking up, and then I'll begin to gear up, get the kids ready for school, and go to work and face the awful thing called Monday and begin to go through Monday, my work, come home, kiss the wife, kiss the kids, eat supper, go to bed. You know, the routine. We get in this routine, and we begin to forget that there are people out there that are lost and are hurting, that we have the answer, we have the cure. We found the bread. All along, God has called us into the world to reach the lost. The Bible says, Jesus said in John 4:35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already for harvest. Church, right now in 2019, we live in a messed up world. Amen? We lived in a pretty jacked up world. If you don't believe me, just wait for the news cycle to come around. Turn on the TV and wait for that news cycle. It gets crazier and crazier. This world is so lost. Right now, the fields are ripe for harvest. Yes, we live in a crazy, dangerous world and dark times, but right now is harvest time. Right now, God has put us on this time and this planet to reap the harvest. Right now, it's dark. Right now, there's persecution. Right now, we have all these rights against us. The rights that we have are being taken away daily. And thank God that we have a president that is fighting for us. Amen? That may not happen if he doesn't get reelected. We may see even worse times. Right now, we live in a society where it's easy to give up. It's easy to stick our head in the sand like an ostrich and say, not my monkey, not my circus. The church, God has called us for such a time as this. There's this time for harvest. People are looking for a cure. People are hungry. People are thirsty. We have the healing. We have the bread. And we have the well that never runs dry. Amen? We have the bread of life. Are we sharing this? Are we sharing the good news that it's so simple to tell? It doesn't have to be complicated. We don't have to go into them and talk to them from Genesis to Revelations and quote the Psalms. All we have to do is tell them, I was a beggar and I found bread and I know how to get there and to lead you there. I was once lost and I now am found, church. That's all we have to do. We have to live it. I think Brother Chris said at the end of Sunday school class, and a lot of times we don't even have to tell people. We just live it. Just live the lifestyle of a Christian. You know why the Christians were first called Christians in Antioch? Because they said, there goes Christ. There goes somebody that looks like Jesus. And that became the name Christian. The Bible says they first called Christians at Antioch because that person looks like Christ. How many of us, when we step on our work job tomorrow, our school, in our hallways, they'll say, there's Christ. Or will they say, there goes the devil. Or the Antichrist. I was once a wreck, but now I'm restored. Just like in Mordecai in the Bible, in the book of Esther. You remember the story, how Esther became queen. She became queen because the king didn't like the queen Vashti just coming in and doing her own thing. So he cast her out, and you know the story. They had a beauty pageant, summing it up a little bit here, and they brought, and Esther won, and the king granted her the queenship, but she couldn't just go into the king at any time. Meanwhile, there was another subplot going on in this book with Haman. He hated the Jews, and he was trying to annihilate them. And Mordecai, who was Esther's uncle or cousin, but raised her and began to feed information to Esther. And it came to the point that Esther had to say something. And Mordecai came to her and said, you're going to have to go in before the king. And she said, I can't do it, because if I just go in unannounced, he could kill me. And Esther said, you're going to have to do it. And he said, who knows? But if you haven't come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Church, you and I are in this season for a reason. You know, oftentimes I like to think, man, it would have been nice to have been born back in the early 1900s. And times were simpler, just looking at history. And then I begin to think about AC and running water and indoor bathrooms. And I think, no, I'm glad I wasn't. But a lot of times we romanticize, right? Back about yesterday, about the cowboy days, or just back in the 50s or the 60s. We romanticize and we want to go back to then and think, man, it would be great to have been born in that time. But church, you're born right now. God didn't just randomly select you, but God had a plan for you. And He picked you to be born in this time period, not back then. You weren't a mistake that He just threw out a lottery numbers or picked a number. But no, He destined you to be born right now in 2019 to be in the harvest. He brought you to forth right now. Whether you're in your twilight years or you're in your beginning years or you're right there in the middle, it doesn't matter. God can still use you and will use you. And He needs you today. The fields are white, church. They're ready to be plucked. What are we doing today? What are we doing? Things don't happen by chance. God is a God of order. And right now in 2019, He has you alive for a reason. Amen? If you'll stand with me, I told you it wouldn't be very long. I shoot from the hip, from the heart, whatever. I'm telling you the truth. In closing today, church, my father used to sing a song, and man, I wish I could hear him sing it one more time. He's been gone 18 years, and I wish I could hear him sing it just one more time. But he used to sing a song, and the chorus goes like this: It says, "Say not tomorrow, I will hold the plow. There's no time to borrow. It's summer now. But Lord, help us millions. Reach it out for mercy's strong hand. God's still searching for someone to till the land." Church, the fields are ripe. What we need to do is tell our story. The fields are ready. You know, we don't have to go and pump up people. We don't have to go out and drum them up. People are ready. People are hungry. This woman that we had an encounter with, she was probably hungry, and I missed it. And that's on me. And it's on me from when I fail. I go to work, and I just, co-workers talk about drinking sometimes, and I just tune it out, and I just get my job done. A lot of times, church, all I just need to do is just keep it simple. Tell them. And when they're hurting, and when they're hungry and thirsty, just tell them, you know what? I know where the well is. I know where the bread is. I was blind, I now see. So much of the time, church, we fail. I fail. Father, forgive me, Lord, when I'm not trying to harvest like You've called me to. Forgive me, Lord, for not seeing people as You do. We see people every day, all walks of life. And we say, you ever look at somebody and think, man, what was God thinking with them? I'm being honest with you, sometimes we think that. Especially when they're doing something we don't like. Lord, why did You make them? but God created everybody. He loves everybody. They have just as much a chance for grace as you and I. Forgive me, Lord, for not seeing people as you do. Forgive me, Lord, for being so caught up in my things that I don't see your people. Forgive me, Lord, for being so caught up in myself and what I need that I don't see other people's needs. Because it's not about me. It's not about me. You know, the other day my baseball team got eliminated, and I was a little upset. My football team in college is gone. There's no hope for them. I was mad and upset, but you know what? Those things don't matter. How many people remember last year's Super Bowl or 2 years ago? Or I guarantee you $5. I'm not a betting man, but you couldn't remember 5 years ago who won the NCAA championship probably, or the Super Bowl. Those things don't matter. Those are gone. But what matters is eternity and who's in there with us. Church, forgive me. Again, I told you I had to eat this pill first. I'm guilty. What are we doing, church? The fields are ready. God's preparing the harvest. We just need to go out and pick it. If you'll bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this message, Lord. I pray that you will just quicken our hearts these next couple of moments, Lord. Lead us, direct us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Just real quick, if there's anybody within the sound of my voice, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never come to the bread of life or to the well that never runs dry. If that's you, just simply slip out of your seat and make your way to this altar. And there'll be people here praying for you. If you've never tasted that water, if you never tasted the bread of life, if you're lost and you need to be found, today's that day. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Trust that everybody in this room is saved. I wonder if every head bowed, if we could do this. I wonder if you could raise your hand and say, Brother Aaron, I've been guilty of not reaping the harvest myself. My hand, both of my hands, my nose, my eyes, everything's in the air because I've been guilty, church, about reaching the lost. If you lift your hand, is anybody and everybody, say, Lord, forgive me and help me. We're going to say a prayer right quick. If your head, if you got your hand in the air, Father, I thank you this morning, Lord. I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will forgive me, Lord, and forgive those that have their hands lifted up, Lord. God, help us, Lord, to see your people as you see them. Lord, help us to reap the harvest, Lord. God, help us to witness, to keep it simple, to tell them, Lord, that we was blind and we now see. Lord, when people, our co-workers, our schoolmates, Lord, are people that we bump into at the store, God, when we see that they have a need, God, that you will help us to tell them, to keep it simple, to tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it will change their life, Lord. Help us, Lord, to not be that neglectful, Lord. Help us, Lord, to reap the harvest, Lord. For God, you've got us to such a time as this, Lord. Thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you for every person, man, woman, boy, and girl that is here today, Lord, to come to hear your word, to come to worship you. Lord, give us the strength to face and to endure until you come again, Lord. In your mighty name we pray this morning. Amen. I'm so glad I could come to the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. So good to see you today. Again, be praying for our pastors as they're on vacation. And don't forget next Sunday that we're going to shower them, appreciate them, hug on them, tell them how much we appreciate them. Amen. Love you this morning. We love you. Be sure to come back tonight, 6 o'clock. Amen. Love the Lord. You're dismissed.